Okay, settle down, class. I don't think I'd ever hear myself say that, ever. Really, me. For somebody that didn't really appreciate school when he was giving it. But thanks for coming along. This is the first day since the Easter period, but felt quite nicely that before Easter we was on Romans 7. It's like life before the Spirit, and after the we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Now we're in Romans 8. Let me just pray, and then we'll say a few things. Jesus, we thank you for this time together as believers in Jesus. And we set our eyes now upon personalities or study notes, but we set our eyes upon Jesus. And we pray once again for an empowerment from the Holy Spirit, and that you would open up eyes, not just so that we could be more intelligent and give ourselves a pat on the back, but God, we would partake of Christ Jesus this evening. We want to feast at your table, the table of the Lord. We thank you for those nail-pierced hands, O love, that blood that was shed at Calvary for us so that we could be forgiven, we could be set free, we could be justified before you. That once we were basically enemies before you, or held lives and attitude, we couldn't please you. But God, through faith in Jesus, you make us alive in you. And we thank you for that resurrection power. And we submit to you this evening. You're a good God. And through us a time of teaching and listening, we come together as worshippers, as adorers of Jesus. We give you the highest place in our hearts. We truly, truly, truly love you. And we pray that your Spirit would move. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, we've arrived at Romans 8. It has been. When did we start Romans? Was it 2000? It was from Jock Stein. This is not a caterpillar that's on my t-shirt. This is so that Oracle is missing a night. Margaret is taking a night off. So this is so that people can listen back. But that's the best we can do for folk that's not here. Always think it's better to be here because you get the feeling in the room. So in case you're wondering what this is. So Romans, well, I'll say something about Romans 8. It's number one. It is my favourite chapter in the whole entire Bible. It is so thick, so rich, oh spirit and glory, how to be set free, how to be a more than a conqueror, and nothing will separate us from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. The good spiritual truth about prayer, we don't even care how to pray, but yet the Spirit within us intercedes with moans and groans before the throne room of God. It is just a fantastic, fantastic chapter. And I can, if I could get on a chapter on my tombstone, once I go and be with Jesus, it would be Romans 8, but it'd have to be a very big tombstone. I'll maybe have to just get a favourite verse. A few things to say about that before we... I'll do a little backstory to give us a bit of context. But I think we should just... There's nothing that I can say that can add to the beauty of Romans 8. Okay, and I hope you didn't come here tonight thinking, wow, I wonder if it mayor Kevin could say about Romans 8 so that you could leave here and think, I've never heard that about Romans 8. Wasn't that so amazing? I want you just to calm down with your expectations. Romans 8 on its own is so wonderful, so majestic, so Spirit-filled. Is the Word of God. As I said, the last time we met, Spurgeon called it the Alps of the New Testament. It just rises up before us. So we'll keep it simple. This night, I'm going to give a bit of a bird's eye view of Romans 8, just a few themes to consider. So we'll not just be diving in and going for Romans 8, chapter 1 to 12. But a bit of backstory. It's great to see some folk join us this week and a couple of weeks previously. obviously I can't, for the sake of time, go through the hell Romans 1 to 7. But here's far we sort of land at before Romans 8. It's that idea with spiritual reality, spiritual truth. Romans 1 to 5 was how we're justified through faith. And the bad news to deal with that was we were all like sheep that had gone astray. All had fallen short of the glory of God. So Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, loses us all. But yet the good news, not through works, but through faith in Jesus and the finished work of the cross, we are justified through his blood. That once we were rebels and enemies, but now we're brothers in God's family. We're saved through faith, faith in Jesus. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
We were lost, now we're found. It's not because I did one thing, it's through grace. And that old song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It's always a song that warms my heart. Justification, chapter 1 to 5 was to deal with justification. Chapter 6 was to deal with identification. Christ was crucified, breaking the power of sin. Us being found in Christ, we see the power of sin defeated. Christ being buried, and us then identifying with Christ in his burial, being raised for the dead, we are raised in Christ to new life, identification. Romans chapter 7, which was a great chapter if you are ever suffered or experienced addictive behavior. Yet we said also that Romans chapter 7 should never be reserved for them that have ever been addicted to medication, addicted to drugs, addicted to alcoholism, addicted to honest sin that so easily entangles. But it's a picture of somebody, if you wasn't here a few weeks ago, it was about self-effort, the hopelessness of self-effort. We gave the guy the most benefit of any doubt we could, because it looks like he's just a bad guy. But we said that this was a guy that loved the law of God, that seen God's laws as perfect and holy and just, a sincere believer in God. He said things like, the things I didn't want to do, the things I'm trying to bide away from, that's the things I'm doing. This was a guy that agreed that God's law was moral and should be obeyed. This wasn't a God hater. This was a God follower. But also he said, in the very things I don't want to do, or the things, very things I want to do, the good things, I find this law at work. Every time I'm trying to do good, evil is right there beside me, distracting me to get my way. So he says, the very things I want to do, I want to be generous. Every time I want to be generous, evil's right there beside me, drag my back. Every time I want to be free for the sin that so easily entangles, I want to be free, something is dragging me back. I just get up in the morning after an argument the night before and think, man, I need to be so more full of love. And every time I go and be so much more full of love, I find there's no power there. I'm just getting dragged back. And then before it ends with hope, there's this really disappointing verse that says, oh, wretched man that I am, I'm just a wretch. I've no power. The hopelessness of self-effort. You don't need to show your hands, I'll show mine for Abdi. I've felt like a wretch before. I have felt like I must be doing something wrong. Every other Christian seems to be on form. I'm not on form. I feel powerless. I feel like I'm not good enough. I'm not hitting the mark. I want to be a devoted, prayer-filled, Bible-reading Christian, but I'm getting torn back. I want to bide away from things that drag me down. I want to bide away from gossip. Before I ken it, I'm entangled in the craziest gossip of the town. And then you hear a moment where you think, dearie me, I'm supposed to be a lot better than this. I'm supposed to be better. I agree with God's law, I'm supposed to be better, but I'm not. And it's like, you see, when the psalmist says, search me and know me, O God, it's like you hear evaluating moments and you think God's searching you out and he's found you and nobody else can see it and you just feel a wretch. I felt like that before. I remember driving in my car out to Sunnybrenn and a song came out. I'm not familiar with a lot of the hymns, but went on about a heart. That song about Ebenezer, a heart that's prone to wonder. And I mind driving and listening to the words saying, oh man, my heart is so prone to wonder. Fucking the hymns better than me. You can't put a song I want about Ebenezer. Here's my heart. It's prone to wonder. Take it, seal it. Aye, you cannot in Davy. Prone to grieve the God I love. That was the words, and when I heard that words, tears streaming down my face because I knew, search me and know me, O God. I love God, but I'm also prone to grieve him. What a wretched man that I am. But then it ends in hope because he turns his eyes away from his life and self-effort and eyes attempts to please a holy God. And we ended it last time, 2 weeks ago, with this hope. Fit is a solution to just, we want to soar on wings like eagles. Fit's a solution and maybe get a little bit of a lift off. Is it trying to be better? Is it giving yourself a good shack? Is it wearing self-effort saying, right, I'm going to improve my devotional life? Could be, but this is fit the Apostle Paul did. Turned eyes away from himself. And after saying one of the most depressing verses, O wretched man that I am, who? I need a who. Nae what will deliver me, nae fit program will deliver me, nae fit church will deliver me, nae fit moral will deliver me, nae fit new devotional journal will deliver me. He concluded, I need a who. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He said, I need somebody greater than me. I need another power. I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Before he starts flying in Romans 8, he has a moment, I'm wretched, but then he turns his praise and affection. It sounds almost too simple. We're very, as humans, we mark the simplest things to do with faith complicated. And if I was coming to you with the next 10 best laws to be free, you'd maybe be more into it because we're engineered to think, right, okay, I'll just follow the steps. But the Apostle Paul says, right, this is the step. Thanks be to Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And so we'll pick it up here. So you're ready to fly? Yeah. With some spiritual themes, right? So we're here. So I would say, this is just my headings. If you want to break it down. 1 to 7, it's a spiritual reality. That's spiritual truth. The hell of 1 to 7, being justified through faith. You receive it as a truth through faith. Justified through faith. Being crucified with Jesus, buried with Jesus, rose again with Jesus. It's not something that we necessarily see, but we receive it as a reality through faith. We are now moving into Romans chapter 8, as today we spiritual experience. So through the plan of the Holy Spirit, it's like the past is covered. You're justified through faith. How does all that affect your spiritual experience today? So we're destined for heaven through the blood of Jesus. Am I right? That's our destiny. It's signed, it's sealed. God's given it his approval. You'll be okay. But now we're on a victory in a Christian life. Is God's plan for you in this world to be good on Sunday, then struggle until you pull yourself together? He came for a mat. We've all experienced this to a different magnitude, maybe. And then, oh, you've got some victory again, and you're good. You maybe had a little dip Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday night, you come to the Bible study, you come to the prayer meeting, I've got to get my strength there. Wednesday morning, you're feeling okay, you've had a good sleep. Thursday, Friday, you start to dip again. Friday night, you maybe hear a complete bloat. And then, beauty, Sunday morning, you get your spiritual strength again. Is God's plan for your victory in him to be good sometimes, then fail? Then good sometimes, then fail, then good sometimes, then fail? Or is it to be free for the power of sin and experience victory in Jesus in your daily life? And if you are here the night and you're thinking, you're in the dune, you're thinking, I can't do it, Kevin. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, thank him, and what I want to see in Romans 8, how God sees how we experience victory in Jesus in our present day. Okay, so end of Romans 7, hopelessness, self-effort. He had a lot of things going for him. He loved God, he hated sin. He was just fruitless in his experience. So let me give you like a bird's eye view. Or a theme, a life of victory. How is it seen? Before Romans 8, the word spirit, for Romans chapter 1 to 7, Jesus is mentioned a lot. Faith is mentioned a lot. Justification is mentioned a lot. This was a bit of a surprise to me. The word spirit. If you was to guess, then I shout out how much times the word spirit. We started Romans saying this is one of the foundational books. It's the first epistle. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. In the first seven books, Pentecostal Christians. How much times is the word spirit spoken about even loosely? It's a grand total, and you can do your end study and come back in 2 weeks and rebuke my ass twice. Two times. Do you believe that? That's incredible. Spirit. And it's mentioned in chapter 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans 7, 6. Now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Romans chapter 8, in this verses, there is 39 verses in total. I counted 16 times the Spirit is mentioned. 16 times, right? I'll repeat that again. For chapters 1 to 7, 2 times. One chapter, chapter 8, the Spirit is mentioned 16 times. Victory in Jesus is an experience, life through the Spirit. Let me just skim through this to read it. Verse 1, you do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life. And Christ Jesus has made us free from the law, sin and death. Verse 4, do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Verse 10, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Spirit of life. Do you know, I just love that term, the Spirit of life? Verse 11b, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Verse 13, but by if the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Verse 14, as many as led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. Verse 15, you receive the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves growing within ourselves. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Verse 27, he searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He makes intercession for us. Overwhelming. This is an introduction to life in the Spirit. As a gift through turning your eyes upon Jesus. Thanks be to God. I turn to Jesus. And now you have the Spirit of God within you. We'll get to more of this in just a second. He's not a doctrine. He's not reserved for Pentecostal Christians. It's not about, this is a spiritual reality that is not given because you think rightly about the Holy Spirit. People hear the Holy Spirit as Christians because they've set their eyes upon Jesus. Whether they acknowledge the work of the Spirit, whether they embrace the life of the Spirit, is another thing. But through grace and the majesty of God, Romans 8 is a truth for every believer that believes in Jesus to bring them this precious gift of victory. It's Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit will lead you. Spirit, 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 Spirit. We have no power within ourselves to live for God, O wretched man that I am. But there is a power from on high that means we can experience God and his victory on a daily basis. An overall view of Romans. You cannot get an overall view of Romans 8 without mentioning the work of the Spirit. He puts a big weight 16 times, maybe more. That was just me going through. Two before, you see the change of gears. There's a transition for justification to sanctification, which is victory outworked in your life. Contrast the work of the Spirit, and this other word, the work of the flesh. Is somebody familiar with this term, the work of the flesh? I will explain it in layman's terms, which is my terms, but I don't want, we'll get Christianese, but it's a biblical word to deal with the work of the flesh. I'll just go through the scriptures. Again, this is an overall view. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and there's two different meanings to the same word. Therefore, there's now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, the work of the Spirit. Verse 3, the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Got a lot of words there. We've got a broadcast doing. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, verse 4, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 8, if you're taking notes, verse 12 and verse 13 also mentions this word, the flesh. Okay. The flesh. There's two instances. One, the flesh means body. For Jesus was the Word made flesh. So it's this. This flesh and blood, this is flesh. That's easy, isn't it? Flesh, my hand is flesh. There is another term that means the inner flesh. If I steal, so I go into the tuck shop, and the tuck shop's now selling food again. I take a whisper to cheer myself up. Romans 8, I've never read that yet. And the hand steals, right? It's a hand. You steal with a hand. So I get caught. Can I blame my hand for stealing? If I was before a judge and jury, could I say, look, it's flesh. It's out of control. I grabbed a whispers and I ate it. But it's near me. It was the hand. You would say that's negant to wash, is it? So the Bible also speaks about the flesh is like the inner serpent that bends towards always rebellion against God. Genesis 2:7. We're going to go back a bit and just see how this... I have to mark the distinction because Romans 8 speaks about Jesus being sent in the flesh, and it also speaks about the flesh at war with the Spirit. If we didn't mark the distinction, you're going to end up confused. Well, if Jesus was sent in the flesh, and we have to nego with the works of the flesh or have the mind of the flesh, well, who did Jesus come as? Well, Jesus had a body that was flesh, but he wasn't like us. He was completely divine. Genesis 2:7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living being. That's the term that's used when God made perfect man in the perfect garden with some rules to obey. In Genesis 2:17, God says, if you disobey, you will die. Something within you will die. The relationship between, we've covered this in chapters 1-7, the relationship between you and God will die. You'll be spiritually dead. After that, in Genesis 6:3, at the time of rebellion, just before Noah, the time of Noah, that people were incredibly wicked, says verse 3, and the Lord says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. He is indeed flesh. I think it's the first time the word flesh is mentioned in this context. Yet his days shall be 120 years. We went from living beings that was alive before God and alive in relationship with each other to him, that's flesh. An easy way to think of it is we was deceived by the serpent, the external serpent. When we died, there was then an inner serpent. that controlled humanity. We became wicked. We was rebels. And weeks and weeks ago, we spoke about the battle within. And we termed it, or we didn't really term it, we questioned the life of Victory in relation to two dogs, a good dog and a bad dog. If ever in your feed, is it in that wins? If you look at the bad dog within you, there's the inner serpent. God says it's flesh. There's a law of the flesh. If you look at Romans 8:2. So if I say body, inner humanity, Romans 8:2. How are we doing for time? Okay, plenty of time. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death, which is us in our flesh, a law of sin and death. Let me just rub us out a bit. I tell you, fit. I've written the other side as well, haven't I? Ah, it's all right. I've got in this. Give me 2 seconds. I'll mark some space, right? See a bit of us. It's all right. We're going some my way, us, right? Look at that. I would say it's so weak. I'm not going to be able to write in it. Which is why I've got paper tools. All right, speak amongst yourselves, we'll be fine. Right, okay. I want to draw some my best drawings or humans. I'm not good at drawing. Jacob's amazing at drawing. He should maybe draw. But this is the best drawing I can ever do. Or human, right? So he's got a sad face. Sad face, right? Because he's drawn really badly. This is a guy. This is our humanity. Somebody want to look up Galatians chapter 5. Read 19 to 21. So man was once happy in the garden. Alive. He then dead. Became dead. Or the flesh. It's a law that governs humanity. I looked up the word law. It's a statement of fact. It's true. It's absolute and unavoidable. Just thinking of that word, law. So all humanity is under the law of the flesh, sin, and death. Nobody escapes it. It's a serpent within. We spoke about it in Romans chapter 1 to 7. We are our rebels. But there's everybody on planet Earth, within us, our tendency is to go against God, naturally speaking. Now that's why there's so much chaos in the world. That you see with your eyes is the works of the flesh. I'll say it again, the hands near the thief. I'm the thief. There's something within me. Mammoth. That's how I'm trying to teach in English, but fantadoric. Mamu. Disney gossip. Far gossips. I gossip for this law of sin and death. This law of the flesh. It's a law. It's a law that has been set into humanity that we cannot escape. Romans chapter 7, it was this. in your own effort, you cannot escape the law. The best you will ever do is love God's models and fail. The best you'll ever do is hate sin, but do it anyway. Why? Because we are under the law of sin and death, the work of the flesh. We cannot escape it. We might be able to put a lid on it. Different programs might be able to help us to a certain degree. But the problem is us. Are you with me? It's a law. God doesn't say some will struggle with sin and death, but some will escape. He doesn't say a few will have victory, naturally speaking. Few will be godly if they have godly parents. But a few will be infected by this law of sin and death. Everybody, everywhere, has been born sin and death. It's within us. We see it manifest in the world. And sometimes you think folk are doing amazing. Some of the most popular, famous people that you think's doing well and you're envious of are still under the law of sin and death. Still struggling with anxieties when they have had the money to take away every single anxiety that you can think of. Because Abdi's under the law, the curse of sin and death. Did somebody find Galatians 5, 9-21? Jael, nice and loud. Okay, so you get the law of sin and death, the works of the flesh. That is for you see. But the problem is not for you see. It's a law that governs us within. So that makes God sad, and that makes us sad, doesn't it? Unavoidable. Different people had different degrees. We'll always go for the public sins. They're the worst. And there may be here mere consequences on earth and some of the other sins, but you look at the list. It's quite extensive. But something else happens to make us smile. Make us really smile. And it's really smile. Let me read verse 2 in this context. Fit is a law. It's immovable, it's true, it governs you, it's a principle, you're not getting out of it. That's when the government been doing a law, that's the way it is. The bad news is there's a law of sin and death, flesh, the works, Jael, so nicely read. Is it for us to try harder to change our behaviour? Well, listen in that context, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has, it's not the Spirit of life, well, maybe, or even well, the law of the Spirit. We have to understand the law, the word law. We have to understand how absolute it is, how immovable it is. When God says there's a law, that's it. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For the believer, not just for the Pentecostal denominations, not just for them with the right doctrine to deal with the Holy Spirit, this is available to every believer. Let's not get too greedy for truth. And this is our truth and not anybody else's truth. That the spiritual truth, the reality is that there was a law that we was under. But then, through thanking God and turning to Jesus, there is this. And if this doesn't explode in your heart, it's the new law. And it's a law of the law of the Spirit that sets you free. For the law of the flesh, for the law of the sin, for the law of death, to set you free for being bound and doing the works of flesh. The law of the Spirit. God gives us something new. He gives us a power from on high. It's a new law, a new way, a new life. New creation. Yeah. The old is gone, behold, for it has came. The new has came. Yeah. A new law. A new power that has been available through the Holy Spirit. That which we couldn't achieve by ourselves. God empowers us so that we're not left thinking, I must try harder. I must do better, but I keep failing. I must keep a waff of things, but I keep being attracted to them. Keep your eyes upon Jesus, and you will find this at work, the law of the Spirit. A new absolute why, a new reality, a new truth that marks all things new. Are you grateful for the new way?
Yeah.
Let me read that again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The only way we are free is through the new law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. He's made us free for the law of sin and the law of death. And again, I say, no wonder that he declares that old person, it's gone. So Jesus didn't shout, try harder. He came in with something brand new, a new covenant by his blood, a new people, a new way, a new way to do things. And then the Bible describes not the works of the Spirit, it describes the fruit of the Spirit. It's the works of the flesh. It's like it's fit you do. You've got to work towards it. It's what we are and fit we do. But when it comes to the new way, it's fruit. For the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit, it's fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's nae the works or you trying to be good. It's the fruit of being in love with Jesus. It just happens. It's a new way. And I love that picture that it's fruit, because fruit happens gently. If I want to be like Jesus quick, me, sanctification, it's to speed up quickly. If it is a 3D, it's just rooted in the right place, fed in the right thing, the leaves and the turns of sun energy, and the tree doesn't need to work on thing out. The tree doesn't need a qualification, and I can't even mind the term for primary school that the sun energy turns to plant energy. If I can mind that term. Photosynthesis, isn't it? Right. A tree doesn't need to understand photosynthesis. A tree just needs to be rooted. A tree never begs the seeds to produce fruit. It doesn't beg, it just is. It stands, and through photosynthesis that it kind of work out and doesn't need to understand it, through the radiance of the sun, through the pulling of the sap, the spirit within, effortlessly, fruit grows. A different faith, death, sin, works. The law of the spirit is something completely different. Thanks be to God. Through Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And the law of the spirit of life has set me free for the law, for the works, sin and death. You will produce fruit. Don't worry about it. You will be victorious. I would say, don't worry about it. You don't need a theology in victory to be victorious. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Thank him. And the law of the spirit, the new way, the new power, for a good God, will work it out in your life. Yeah, I need to get up in the morning. I need to be more lovely. I need to be more kind. You just fix your eyes upon Jesus, and he'll change your heart. How are we doing for time? Got time for one more overall view. 5-10 minutes on us, right? And then we'll jump in a few weeks. You cannot learn either to get an overall view, sonship, becoming a son. If you're taking notes, you can just put the verse and put the number, but this is the amount of times, and there's probably more, that in this chapter, really emphasizing sonship, children of God, adoption, Abba Father. Sonship is big on the heart of God in Romans chapter 8, verse 12, verse 15, verse 21, verse 29. I speaks about the spirit, Abba, Father. Abba, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. It's a heart cry that we are made children of the living God. We're adopted into his family. In one sense, we can approach that. I think I have previously, to be honest, to think that just means like we're a part of the eternal family of God, global family of God. Is that fair to say? And we say we are children of God, that sometimes we can just think, well, I'm part of the eternal family of God. God's my father. And we'll be with the hell family of God in all eternity. Sometimes I just think like that. But it really goes strong in Romans chapter 8 to deal with sonship, right? Even if you are a female, the Bible says sonship. I'm going to keep it, we're our sons, okay? If females might be like, oh, well, I'm a daughter, right? But you try being a male in the bride of Christ, right? I'm a bride, yeah, okay. Maybe a tag groom, right? Okay, so I have to live with that. So you're going to have to live with, you're a son. You could be a son that's a female, or you could be a son that's a male, but we're our sons. And it's today we spiritual DNA. Right, here's me. Again, glorious pictures of humans. Like my dad's car, Jimmy, right? When became my dad? You seen my dad before? Where's my black pen? Right, so Jimmy, that's Jimmy, right? My mom's, too much water. I've used too much. Okay, I should really have somebody do this for me. You can, you like that job next time, right? We'll give you a title. Board white bar. Did you? Teacher's pet, was it? Right, Marty, my mom, and there's me, and there's also my brother Martin, right? Okay, now I got married. This is my family tree. Right, okay. Did I get married to Isabel, right? She's I've got three bairns, Jacob, Emily, and Isaac. Jacob's here. Right, apparently you can tell I'm a Duthie because I look like my dad. Right, people say you walk like your dad. It's in the natural DNA. See this little Duthie lugs? Like, see, it's like a bit elfy kind. That's a Duthie trait. See the hair, fuzzy hair, afro hair? If I leave it long enough, it would go like an African's hair. That's a Duthie trait. My granny Chrissy had Duthie hair, right? So, and naturally speaking, there's DNA. Jacob looks more like a Morgan, if I would agree, the Morgan side, but more like Isabel's side. Usually people look like the people that's came before them in some degree, right? They say, good job, the oracle's not here. my mother-in-law, if you want to see a glimpse of the future about the woman you're going to marry, look at her mother. No. I'm not saying whether I did that or not, right?
She'll be happy.
But you grow like your descendants and then so on and so forth. And it's the same for me, it's the same for you. And naturally speaking, I've got Duthie traits, some strong genes. My brother is more like the Watt side, my mom's side, Runar Fair, stuff like that. Okay, so when God speaks about this new way, I'll just say it. When God speaks about this new way, sons, daughters, adopted into his family, Abba Father, he's also saying this, see this new way? You got to start to look like somebody. You can't figure out start to look like God, Abba Father. That's the image you're being conformed to. Nay, this fizzog, this will always be a Duthie. And this outward tint, well, that's wasting a while. If I live long enough, breathe my last breath, good night, Vienna, I'll go and be with Jesus. This goes back to the dust. Do you wait forever you want. But the inward person is getting renewed day by day. You see, this new way with the new law is to do with sonship. And it's to do with coming into God's spiritual family and you are being transformed, that sanctification, to look like your spiritual dad. Yeah. Bearing spiritual fruit that the world will see. That's a mandate of the church. The fruit is not for the tree. The fruit's for other people to go and eat. When the church bears fruit unto God, if other people see, if they look to the church, I see the kindness of Jesus. Yeah. Through a bunch of people under a new power. Maybe kind of put their finger on it. And we're not really just going out to just work us up. They see, the love of Jesus that's shed abroad in our hearts. They see the fruit. We're not just becoming like a book, like a standard, sonship, because I've got a new DNA, being born again of the Spirit, something happened, a new power, a new way, a new creation, and then Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is marking me to be like my spiritual God, my spiritual dad, day by day, bearing fruit. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your precious truths, and God, as we said at the start, we wasn't coming here looking for something astoundingly new, but to mark what is written, just imprinted on our hearts, to get an overall view of your work. And God, we rest right now. We nae panic. We nae striving. We rest in the new way, the new power, that doesn't just add a little bit of victory to our wretched life, but you said that you would set us free, and you have made us free. For the law of sin and death that has worked so evil that binds us up. And God, right now, we pray that this would be real and true in our hearts, that we would be satisfied fully in Jesus. And we wouldn't hate victory Sunday and Monday, then go down, then go up, then go down. But we declare that you would give us sustained, consistent victory in Jesus. Not through our works effort, but, oh God, through your Spirit. And we are grateful this evening to be spiritual sons of the Most High God, that we are being ever conformed daily, being transformed in the innermost being to become more like our Father in heaven. And that Christ, your church, would bear fruit unto righteousness. That as the world looks at the church, they wouldn't see the works of the flesh, but they would look and see a church of love, a spiritual love, a spiritual kindness, a spiritual self-control, a spiritual patience. That we would show the world through the Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father, that we would be ambassadors for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, great listeners, once again. I've got 2 weeks to see Farmer Gannon in 2 weeks' time. So there's a lot of work, but we'll get her. And bring your wife.